Imagine a world where you don't own your car, but you always have the perfect vehicle for any need. Frictionless, sustainable, and predictable. That future is being built right now by a company you might not have heard of, but you're about to. Avence.
Avence, right.
Today, we're plunging into their astonishing transformation, pulling out the crucial insights you need to understand not just this company, but the entire future of mobility.
Uh-huh.
Our mission in this deep dive is to distill the most important nuggets from a mountain of research and financial analyses so you can quickly grasp the powerful shifts happening and how we get around. Okay, let's unpack this.
What's truly fascinating here is precisely that larger context. This isn't just a business story of a merger and acquisition. It's a testament to how the biggest players are not just adapting to, but actively driving fundamental shifts.
Right.
In consumer behavior, technological advancements like electric vehicles, and even global regulatory landscapes. Hmm. The insights we'll uncover today about Avence are absolutely crucial for understanding the broader future of mobility itself and how these mega companies are poised to shape it for all of us.
And what a transformation it has been. For decades, the name ALDSA was synonymous with vehicle leasing, a powerhouse subsidiary of the French banking giant Société Générale.
A huge name in the space.
But in October 2023, something profound happened.
Yeah.
ALDSA officially became Avence.
Mm-hmm.
This wasn't just a simple name change. It was a unifying act, bringing together two powerful legacy entities under one banner, creating something truly new. Here's where it gets really interesting.
Indeed. The catalyst for this monumental shift was the successful acquisition of their major competitor, LeasePlan.
LeasePlan, right.
That transaction, which closed on May 22, 2023, wasn't simply an expansion of market share. It was explicitly described as a strategic consolidation.
Strategic consolidation.
This wasn't about just getting bigger. It was about consolidating power and capabilities in a way that fundamentally reshapes the industry.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the result of that strategic consolidation, the creation of what is now the undisputed global leader in the mobility sector.
Undisputed is the word.
When you combine ALD and LeasePlan, you get a colossal entity managing a global fleet of approximately 3.4 million vehicles.
Wow. 3.4 million. That's just massive.
That number alone tells you the sheer scale we're talking about.
Yeah.
And to formalize this new identity, in May 2024, their ticker symbol on Euronext Paris officially changed from ALD to AYV.
AYV.
Got it. This company is headquartered in Rueil Malmaison, France, and it boasts over 15,700 people worldwide, building on a rich legacy of over 60 years of combined experience in the industry. It's a massive, deeply experienced player.
And if we connect this to the bigger picture, this merger isn't just about achieving an unparalleled fleet size. It's about unparalleled market power.
Market power. Okay. How so?
Think about the influence that 3.4 million vehicles gives them. Imagine being the single largest buyer for a major car manufacturer.
Yeah, that's huge leverage.
That kind of leverage doesn't just get you a discount. It gives you a seat at the table in shaping future vehicle production, influencing everything from vehicle design and technology trends to even how those manufacturers think about their own distribution strategies.
Hmm, interesting. So they can actually influence car design.
Potentially, yes, or at least the features prioritized for fleet markets. It's a level of market power we haven't seen before in this space. And the new unified identity as Avence simplifies their market message globally.
Right.
Projecting a single coherent brand image that reflects this new consolidated might. It sends a clear signal to both competitors and customers about their commanding position.
So how does this colossus actually operate? Avence breaks its business down into three primary segments. And these segments are designed to cover the entire life cycle of a vehicle. It's a truly comprehensive approach.
Covering the whole journey.
The first, and arguably the foundation of their business, is full-service leasing, often called operational leasing.
Yep, that's the main one.
This is where Avence offers long-term contracts, typically running for 3 to 4 years, to a remarkably diverse range of clients. Mm-hmm. We're talking about everything from giant multinational corporations and small to medium-sized enterprises, SMEs,
mm-hmm.
all the way down to self-employed professionals and even private individuals.
So a really wide net.
Exactly. What makes this full service a key differentiator is that it bundles the vehicle financing with an incredibly comprehensive suite of management services.
Right, the whole package.
This means clients can essentially outsource all aspects of vehicle operations to Avence. For you, the client, this translates into predictable costs, enhanced operational efficiency, because you're not managing a fleet yourself,
mm-hmm.
and access to modern, well-maintained vehicles without the hefty capital outlay or the inherent risks of vehicle ownership, like unpredictable depreciation or unexpected maintenance bills.
And that full service aspect is critical because it builds very strong, long-term relationships with clients, but, you know, not everyone wants to lease. That brings us to their second core segment, fleet management. This is a standalone service for clients who prefer to actually own their vehicles, but still want to optimize their operational efficiency.
So you own the cars, but they manage them for you.
Exactly. Avens unbundles the financing part and focuses purely on the service. This can include everything from maintenance and repair scheduling, ensuring your vehicles are always in top condition,
okay,
to tire management, fuel card programs for cost control, comprehensive insurance solutions, and even accident management.
Wow, pretty comprehensive.
Avens leverages its vast network and deep data analytics to help these clients significantly reduce their total cost of ownership, TCO, and drastically cut down on their administrative burden. It's about making vehicle operations as lean and efficient as possible for their clients, regardless of who owns the asset.
And finally, a segment that might sound mundane, but is actually a critical and often value-defining part of their business model. Used car sales, UCS, which they also call remarketing.
Yeah, this part's crucial.
This is where they manage and sell vehicles at the end of their lease contracts, and they have a sophisticated multi-channel strategy to maximize the proceeds.
Got to get the best price for those used cars.
Exactly. Their primary channel here is ALD Car Market, a proprietary global online auction platform that sells literally hundreds of thousands of vehicles annually.
Their own eBay for cars, basically.
Kind of. Think of it as their own enormous digital showroom for off-lease cars. And it's not just online. That platform is complemented by a physical network of 51 showrooms spread across 20 countries, catering to different buyer segments.
So both online and physical presence.
The efficiency of this segment is paramount, because the ability to achieve favorable sales prices directly impacts the company's overall profitability and helps them better price the initial lease.
To elaborate on that, the full service model lays the groundwork for those deep client relationships, fostering loyalty and recurring revenue.
Makes sense.
The fleet management service, by offering a flexible, unbundled option, broadens their market reach, allowing them to serve a wider spectrum of businesses.
Right.
But the efficiency and profitability of their used car sales segment cannot be overstated. It directly impacts their bottom line, making it far more than just a disposal mechanism for old vehicles.
More than just getting rid of them.
Oh, definitely. It's a complex, data-driven operation that requires significant expertise to maximize value, directly influencing the financial viability of their leasing contracts from the very outset. It's truly a testament to their operational prowess.
So let's talk about the money. How does Avens turn all this into profit? It's been described as a calculated dance of asset management and service provision, and it's built upon three distinct income streams, each generating value at a different stage of the vehicle lifecycle.
Three main ways they make money. Okay.
First up, the leasing contract margin. This is the fundamental financing profit. It represents the spread between the total leasing revenue they receive from a customer over the contract term and the actual costs associated with that contract.
So the lease payment minus their costs for that specific car.
Pretty much. On the revenue side, that includes the vehicle's expected depreciation, the difference between its initial purchase price and its estimated future residual value, plus an interest charge for funding that asset.
Uh-huh.
On a cost side, it covers the actual depreciation expense and the company's cost of funds. This margin provides a wonderfully stable, recurring, and predictable source of income over the entire life of their lease portfolio. It's the bedrock.
Stable and predictable, that's key. The second stream is the services margin.
Right, dextrous.
This captures the profitability of all those value-added services we just discussed, whether they're bundled into a full-service lease or sold separately as fleet management contracts.
Okay.
It's calculated as the difference between the fixed monthly service fees invoiced to the client and the actual costs Avens incurs in providing those services. For example, payments to garages for maintenance or insurance premiums.
So profit on maintenance, insurance, etc.
Exactly. And here, their sheer scale is a significant advantage. Because they manage so many vehicles, Avens can negotiate incredibly preferential rates with its vast network of suppliers.
Volume discounts.
Precisely. Creating a profitable margin for themselves while still offering very competitive service pricing to their clients. It's a win-win.
And then we get to the used car sales UCS result. Now, this is the most variable of the three, but often a highly significant contributor to the company's gross operating income.
The wild card, potentially.
You could say that. This is simply the profit or loss realized when they sell a vehicle at the end of its lease. The difference between the net cash proceeds from the sale and the vehicle's carrying amount or residual value on their balance sheet.
Got it. Sell price minus book value.
Because it's a used car market, this income stream is highly sensitive to macroeconomic conditions, the ever-shifting dynamics of supply and demand, and frankly, just changes in consumer preferences.
Yeah, used car prices can bounce around a lot.
This inherent volatility means that the UCS result can have a disproportionate impact on their year-over-year profitability, making it a key area to watch.
This raises an important question then. How does managing the inherent volatility of the used car market become a core competency for Avens? How does it impact its overall risk management and profitability?
Good question.
The stability derived from the leasing and services margins acts as a crucial cushion, absorbing some of the shocks from that volatile used car market.
Okay, so the other parts help smooth things out.
Exactly. But the rebranding to Avens and the deep lease plan integration are central to optimizing all three of these streams. By leveraging their increased scale, they aim to enhance purchasing power and create a more efficient global operating platform.
Right, the whole point of the merger.
With the ultimate goal of realizing a truly significant $440 million in annual synergies. Successful execution here isn't just a strategic goal, it's a financial imperative for their future.
You know, when we talk about being a global leader, Avens truly walks the walk. It possesses the most extensive geographic footprint in the entire industry, which is a key competitive advantage.
Huge advantage.
When you're servicing massive multinational clients who need consistent mobility solutions around the globe, the company has a direct presence in 44 countries.
44 countries?
What? And then it further extends its reach to a total of 59 countries through a network of strategic commercial alliances. That's incredible coverage, giving them a truly global operational reach.
It is. The LeasePlan acquisition was particularly strategically important in this regard, as it created a more balanced and robust presence across the mature and highly competitive European markets.
So stronger in Europe now.
Definitely. This isn't just about being everywhere. It's about being strategically strong in the most important markets, solidifying their dominant position in key economic zones.
But beyond Europe, Avens maintains a strong global network through long-standing partnerships. The most significant of these is their alliance with Wheels in North America.
Yes, Wheels. A big name there.
A recognized leader in fleet management for large corporate customers. This allows Avens to offer truly seamless service across the Atlantic, meaning a global client can have a consistent experience whether they're operating in Paris or Chicago.
That's critical for those big global contracts.
This is further complemented by alliances with fleet partners in the Asia-Pacific region and other partners in key markets around the world, ensuring that comprehensive global service capability.
Covering all the bases.
And as part of their post-merger integration, and to streamline operations as a newly regulated entity, Avens has established key group-level subsidiaries. These include Avens Bank and Avens Insurance.
Okay, their own bank and insurance arms.
These entities are specifically designed to centralize and optimize the company's banking and insurance activities across its various markets, boosting efficiency and ensuring regulatory compliance across its vast operations.
This integrated global network, coupled with specialized subsidiaries like Avens Bank and Avens Insurance, significantly bolsters their competitive position.
How so?
It allows them to offer consistent, high-quality solutions that are tailored to diverse regulatory and market landscapes. For a multinational corporation, knowing they can receive the same standard of service with localized expertise and funding, whether they're in Europe, North America, or Asia, is an enormous draw and a very difficult competitive advantage to replicate. It's a truly sophisticated global machine.
So what does this all mean for the broader European market?
Well, the European vehicle leasing and fleet management industry is an enormous, mature, and structurally growing market.
Huge and growing.
It's absolutely critical for corporate mobility, but it's also increasingly catering to the needs of small and medium-sized enterprises and, as we mentioned, even private individuals.
Right. Not just the big guys anymore.
The really interesting part is that this sector is currently undergoing a truly profound transformation, driven by a set of powerful secular trends that are reshaping not just how vehicles are leased or managed, but fundamentally how vehicles are used and powered. Precisely. This isn't just about incremental change. It's about a fundamental reshaping of how vehicles are acquired, used, and managed.
A real shakeup.
These trends are not only changing the business models of companies like Avens, but also influencing how individual consumers and corporations think about transportation entirely. It's a very dynamic period, and Avens is right at the center of it.
And that dynamism is reflected in the numbers. The European car leasing market was valued at approximately USD 28 billion in 2023.
20 billion. Okay.
And looking ahead, the forecasts for its future growth are consistently positive. Technavio, for instance, projects the market will expand by an additional USD 10.1 billion between 2025 and 2029.
Wow.
Reflecting a compound annual growth rate, or CAGR, of 3.7%. A slightly more optimistic forecast from GM Insights projects an even more rapid expansion, with a DGR of 6.1% for the period between 2024 and 2032.
So solid growth expected. What's fascinating here is how these robust growth rates underscore a significant shift in user preference for market leaders like Avens.
Yeah, people are moving towards leasing.
Broader industry data from Lease Europe, which includes both vehicle and equipment leasing, truly emphasizes the market's dynamism. In 2023, total new leasing volumes in Europe reached an astounding 447.9 billion.
Whoa, nearly half a trillion euros.
Marking a significant 10.8% increase compared to the previous year.
That's big growth year over year.
The automotive segment was the primary engine of this growth, with new leasing volumes for passenger cars expanding by 14.5% and commercial vehicles by 14.4%.
Okay.
This accelerating adoption of leasing models, clearly driven by strong demand, provides a powerful tailwind for the entire industry and positions large-scale players like Avens to capture a substantial portion of this growth. It's a clear indication that for you, the traditional car ownership model is increasingly giving way to more flexible alternatives.
So let's unpack these powerful megatrends that are truly reshaping the mobility landscape. The first and arguably the most fundamental tailwind for the industry is the structural shift from ownership to usership.
Usership, right. Access over ownership.
Exactly. Both corporate and retail customers are increasingly prioritizing access to a vehicle or mobility over the burden of owning it.
Makes sense. Less hassle.
For businesses, leasing offers significant financial and operational advantages. It converts a large capital expenditure into a predictable operating expense, preserving capital for their core business investments.
Frees up cash.
Crucially, it also transfers complex risks like maintenance costs and the uncertainty of a vehicle's residual value to the leasing provider.
They take on the risk.
This trend is expected to accelerate dramatically, with the European usership market projected to more than double from 4.9 million vehicles in 2021 to an estimated 9.5 million by 2030.
Doubling.
Representing a healthy CAGR of 7.7%.
And if we talk about fundamental shifts, the transition to electric vehicles, EVs, is arguably the single most powerful catalyst transforming the entire industry.
EVs are everywhere now.
With approximately 70% of new passenger cars and light commercial vehicles in Europe expected to be electric by 2030, the entire automotive ecosystem is being rewired.
70% by 2030. That soon.
Vehicle leasing companies, particularly those with Avens scale, are becoming critical enablers of this transition. Leasing provides a crucial de-risking mechanism for customers who are hesitant to purchase EVs outright.
Why are they hesitant?
Well, due to concerns about high upfront costs, the rapid pace of technological advancements in batteries, potential battery degradation over time, and highly uncertain future resale value.
Ah, the resale value uncertainty again.
Exactly. By assuming these risks, leasing companies make EV adoption far more accessible and financially viable for a broader range of users. It's like renting a new smartphone every 2 years, so you don't have to worry about battery life or obsolescence. It's just the latest tech managed for you.
That makes perfect sense. Then we have the rise of mobility as a service, MaaS, and the pervasive impact of digitalization.
MaaS, yeah. The next step.
The industry is evolving from simply providing vehicles to offering integrated technology-driven mobility solutions. MaaS involves creating digital platforms that give users access to a wide range of multimodal transport options, from lease cars and car sharing to even public transport, all managed through a single, seamless interface.
Well, one app for everything.
Pretty much. This entire shift is powered by advanced technologies, telematics, the Internet of Things, IoT, and artificial intelligence, AI, are becoming standard tools for optimizing fleet operations.
All the tech buzzwords.
They enable real-time vehicle tracking, predictive maintenance to avoid breakdowns, route optimization for efficiency, and data-driven analysis of driver behavior to reduce costs and improve safety. The European fleet management market, which encompasses these technologies, is projected to grow at a robust CAGR of 11.9%.
So strong growth in the tech side, too.
It's about data-driven intelligence turning vehicles into highly optimized assets.
Finally, we see a strong focus on corporate fleet optimization and sustainability.
Cutting costs and carbon.
Exactly. In today's environment of rising costs and increasing environmental scrutiny, corporations are intensely focused on optimizing their vehicle fleets. This means minimizing their total cost of ownership and significantly reducing their carbon footprint.
Makes business sense.
There's high demand for advanced fleet management solutions that use data analytics to monitor and reduce fuel consumption, streamline maintenance schedules, and promote safer, more efficient driving habits, for example.
Yeah.
The use of GPS tracking solutions alone has been shown to decrease fuel costs by an average of 24% and accident-related costs by 19%.
Wow, those are big savings.
Huge impact on a company's bottom line.
It is.
Yeah.
And if we connect this to the bigger picture, these trends are not independent. They are incredibly interconnected and self-reinforcing.
How so?
The complexity and higher cost of electric vehicles inherently push more customers from traditional ownership towards leasing models.
Right, because of the risks we mentioned.
The growth in leased connected vehicles then generates a massive trove of valuable data.
Ah, the data feedback loop.
This data, in turn, fuels the development of even more sophisticated digital fleet management and MaaS offerings. This creates a virtuous cycle that benefits large-scale players like Avens, who have the resources to effectively harness these interconnected developments. They're effectively building a massive data engine.
And it's not just market forces at play either. The regulatory landscape in Europe acts as a powerful, non-cyclical catalyst for the leasing industry.
Government pushing things along.
Particularly in accelerating the shift towards sustainable mobility.
Let's start with emission standards. The European Union has implemented some of the world's most stringent vehicle emission standards.
It's a very strict rules.
The cornerstone of this policy is the regulation mandating a ban on the sale of new internal combustion engine, ICE, cars and vans from 2035.
2035, that's the big one. No more new petrol or diesel cars.
This creates a clear and, frankly, unchangeable deadline for the complete transition of vehicle fleets to zero emission technologies. For the leasing industry, this means a strong, long-term demand floor. They are positioned as the primary facilitators for this capital-intensive transition for businesses.
Absolutely. The regulatory environment fundamentally shapes demand. And building on that, taxation policies and incentives play a huge role.
Carrots and sticks.
Pretty much. National governments across Europe are actively using fiscal policy to steer the market towards electrification. This includes providing tax incentives, subsidies, and grants for the purchase or lease of electric and hybrid vehicles.
Making EVs cheaper.
While in some cases, penalizing higher emission vehicles. These policies directly influence the total cost of ownership calculation for fleet managers and make leasing an EV a far more financially attractive proposition, creating a direct demand pull.
And finally, with increasing vehicle connectivity, we're seeing new regulatory challenges around data and safety regulations.
Data privacy is huge now.
Compliance with data privacy laws, such as the GDPR, is absolutely critical for companies like Avens that handle vast amounts of driver and vehicle data.
Mm-hmm.
Additionally, new regulations concerning commercial vehicle operation, such as updated tachograph laws and mandates for tire pressure monitoring systems, create a complex compliance environment.
More rules to follow.
This complexity further encourages businesses to outsource their fleet management to specialized experts who can navigate these intricate requirements.
Yeah, it becomes easier just to let the experts handle it. How this regulatory environment works is crucial to understanding the stability of the sector.
Right.
While it does introduce complexity and compliance costs, it also provides a stable and predictable long-term demand, particularly benefiting large players like Avens, who have the scale and resources to navigate complex compliance requirements across multiple jurisdictions.
So the regulation actually helps the big players.
In a way, yes. These aren't just market trends. These are legal mandates, creating a very strong, consistent demand for the services that Avens provides, essentially future-proofing a significant portion of their business.
So who exactly are the big players in this transform landscape? The European vehicle leasing market is characterized by what we call an oligopolistic structure.
A few big fish dominate.
Meaning a handful of large, well-capitalized players really dominate the field. And following its transformative acquisition of LeasePlan, Avens has unequivocally established itself as the largest and most dominant force in this landscape.
The clear number one now.
We mentioned it before, but it bears repeating.
Yeah.
The combined entity manages a global fleet of approximately 3.4 million vehicles. That's a scale that significantly surpasses its nearest competitors.
This raises an important question. How does this level of scale translate into market influence, pricing power, and strategic partnerships?
Good question.
When you consider that the top seven leasing companies in Europe, a group that includes Avens, collectively manage a fleet of 9.3 million cars.
9.3 million for the top seven.
Their influence is profound. They actually account for nearly one out of every three new car sales across the European Union.
One in three new cars goes through these guys. Wow.
Think about that for a moment. Within this elite group, Avens' scale gives it a truly commanding position. For instance, in a key market like the United Kingdom, the merged entity was projected to become the largest single supplier, with an estimated market share in the range of 10-20% across all lease and customer types.
That's a huge chunk of the UK market.
That's a significant portion of the market controlled by one entity. It's like being the biggest fish in a very deep pond, capable of creating its own ripples.
So while Avens is the undisputed leader, it certainly doesn't operate in a vacuum. It faces competition from other large-scale players, most of whom, it's worth noting, are also backed by major banking or automotive groups.
Right, it's mostly the big boys club.
This effectively creates a two-tiered market where independent lessors face significant structural disadvantages.
Very hard for smaller players to compete.
Avens' most direct and formidable competitor is Arval.
Arval, yeah. Backed by BNP Paribas.
Exactly. A wholly owned subsidiary of the French banking giant BNP Paribas. With a leased fleet of approximately 1.6 million vehicles, Arval boasts a strong presence and actually holds number one market positions in key European countries like France, Italy, and Spain.
So, a big competitor, especially in Southern Europe.
Its primary competitive advantage is very similar to Avens's, the deep financial backing and extensive distribution network of its parent bank, which provides access to stable, low-cost funding and a vast client base.
Then you have the captive finance arms of major automakers, Volkswagen Financial Services.
VW's own leasing arm?
As a captive finance and leasing arm of the Volkswagen Group is a powerhouse in the European market. Its key advantage is its intrinsic link to Europe's largest automotive manufacturer.
Easy access to VW Group cars.
Providing unparalleled access to a wide range of vehicles and deep integration with the OEM's sales and service network. Similarly, Alphabet, the business mobility and fleet management division of the BMW Group.
Alphabet. From BMW.
Managing over 720,000 vehicles, strategically leverages the premium brand association of its parent company and focuses on providing innovative, high-end mobility solutions with a strong emphasis on consulting and supporting customers in their transition to electric vehicles.
So more high-end focused.
Generally, yeah.
And the competitive field also includes other notable OEM-backed lessors, such as Leasys, which is a joint venture between Stellantis and Crédit Agricole, Athlon, which is owned by Mercedes-Benz, and Mobilize Financial Services, part of the Renault Group.
A lot of car makers have their own leasing arms now.
What you see is a landscape where backing from a major financial institution or an automotive OEM has become a de facto requirement for top-tier competition. This isn't a game for small, independent players at the very top. It's a battle of giants, often supported by even larger financial or industrial parents.
This brings us to the crucial point. The barriers to entry in the full-service leasing industry are exceptionally high, creating truly durable competitive moats for established players like Avens.
Hard to get into this business.
Very hard. The first and most significant moat is simply scale and purchasing power.
We've talked about that 3.4 million fleet.
Exactly. With a fleet of over 3 million vehicles, Avens possesses immense purchasing power. This allows it to negotiate substantial discounts from automotive manufacturers on new vehicle purchases and secure preferential rates from suppliers for maintenance, tires, and other services.
Cheaper cars, cheaper servicing.
This scale-driven cost advantage is nearly impossible for new or smaller entrants to replicate, giving Avens a significant competitive edge in terms of its cost base. Imagine trying to get the same deal on a single car as someone buying a thousand thing. It's just not going to happen.
Right, they can buy cheaper and service cheaper. And because vehicle leasing is an extremely capital-intensive business, Access to competitive funding is another massive barrier.
Need deep pockets.
A leasing company's cost of funds is a primary determinant of its pricing and profitability. Avon's long-standing relationship with Société Générale provides it with access to a large, stable, and cost-effective pool of capital.
The SOGEN connection.
This backing from a major financial institution is a critical advantage that significantly lowers its overall cost base and enhances its resilience, especially during periods of financial market stress. Without that deep pocket, you simply can't play at this level.
Then there's the global network and service infrastructure. Building a direct presence in over 40 countries and establishing a reliable network of thousands of service partners, think garages, body shops, and so on, is a monumental undertaking.
Takes time and money.
That has literally taken decades to build. This global infrastructure is absolutely essential for servicing large multinational corporations, which require consistent service quality and centralized reporting across all their areas of operation. A new entrant simply cannot build this overnight. It's a competitive advantage forged over decades.
And what about data? Data and risk management expertise is a huge advantage.
Crucial in this game.
Decades of operating millions of vehicles have provided Avon's with a vast and invaluable data set. This data is a powerful tool for managing the industry's most critical risk, residual value risk.
Predicting future used car prices.
By analyzing historical data on vehicle performance, maintenance costs, and resale prices, the company can more accurately predict the future value of vehicles, allowing it to price its leases more competitively and minimize losses on used car sales. This data-driven expertise in risk management is a sophisticated and self-reinforcing competitive advantage.
The more cars they manage, the better their data, the better their predictions.
It's incredibly hard to copy, as it requires years of accumulated information.
Finally, we have remarketing capabilities. An efficient and effective remarketing operation is vital for maximizing the value of off-lease vehicles.
Selling those used cars well.
Avon's proprietary platforms, like ALD Car Market, give it direct control over the sales process, allowing it to optimize sales channels, reach a wide range of buyers, and capture the full value of its assets rather than relying solely on third-party auction houses.
More control, potentially better prices.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the ALD lease plan merger itself was a direct response to these formidable barriers. It reinforced the idea that consolidation isn't just a strategy for growth, but a necessity for achieving and maintaining market dominance in this highly capital-intensive, relationship-driven business. It's a clear message. Get big or go home.
Let's turn our attention to the financial heart of Avon's. An examination of their performance over the past 5 years reveals a period of significant growth, transformative change, and notable volatility.
Lots going on.
Driven by both strategic actions and external market conditions. The data clearly shows the impact of the exceptionally strong used car market in 2021-22, and of course, the scale-altering consolidation of LeasePlan in 2023.
Right, those are the key factors.
Looking at revenue, the company's top line has demonstrated a strong upward trajectory, more than doubling from just under $10 billion in 2020 to over $25 billion in 2023.
Big jump in 23 with LeasePlan.
And remaining strong at $25.27 billion in 2024. That massive jump in 2023, of course, reflects the inclusion of LeasePlan's operations post-acquisition.
And this growth in revenue is very important to contextualize. Net income group share, for instance, has been robust but also shown significant fluctuation.
Up and down a bit.
Largely influenced by that highly cyclical used car sales result we discussed earlier, net income peaked at an extraordinary 1.22 billion in 2022.
A billion euros. That was the crazy used car market year.
That year was characterized by record high used car prices due to global new vehicle supply shortages. In 2023, net income normalized to 816 million, then further to 684 million in 2024.
So coming back down to earth.
This decline from the 2022 peak wasn't due to operational weakness, but rather the anticipated cooling of the used car market combined with one-off costs related to the LeasePlan integration.
Integration costs hitting the bottom line. And EBITDA earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization followed a similar pattern of strong growth. It saw a substantial jump from roughly $5.5 billion in 2022 to over $7.6 billion in 2023 post-LeasePlan consolidation.
What's fascinating here is that the 2022 financial results represent a cyclical zenith driven by an anomalous used vehicle market That was an unusual period.
I'm not likely to be readed soon.
Probably not to that extent. The subsequent normalization of profitability in 2023 and 2024, while it might appear as a decline from that peak, is actually more representative of a return to sustainable long-term performance levels.
Okay.
Albeit somewhat obscured by the significant one-time effects of the merger, it's crucial for you as a listener to look through that short-term noise to assess the underlying run rate earnings power of the newly combined Avens entity.
Beyond those standard financial metrics, there's a set of industry-specific key performance indicators, KPIs, that are absolutely essential for understanding the operational health and performance of a leasing giant like Avens.
The number is specific to this business?
The first is total fleet, or total contracts. This metric directly represents the overall scale of the company's operations.
How many cars they manage in total?
The lease plan acquisition created a massive step change in scale, bringing the total managed fleet to an incredible 3.42 million vehicles as of year-end 2023, settling at 3.30 million in 2024.
Right, it's about sheer volume. Then there's the funded fleet.
Funded fleet.
Which represents the portion of the total fleet that is actually owned by Avens and financed on its balance sheet, forming the core of its earning assets.
Ah, the cars they actually own and make the leasing margin on.
Exactly. Post-merger, the funded fleet stood at 2.71 million vehicles at year-end 2023 and 2.63 million in 2024. This is the portion directly generating their leasing margin.
And the used car sales, UCS result per unit, is a critical indicator of both profitability and risk management.
Profit per used car sold.
This figure starkly illustrates the market's volatility.
Yeah.
It soared to an unprecedented average of 3,269 euros per vehicle in 2022.
Wow, over 3K profit per car.
Before normalizing significantly to 2,400 euros in 2023 and further to 12,267 in 2024. That swing shows you how exposed they are to that market.
Huge swing. And finally, cost of risk.
Cost of risk, okay.
This metric, which measures impairment charges on receivables as a percentage of earning assets, directly reflects the quality of the company's loan book.
Basically, how much they lose from customers not paying.
Exactly. Avens has consistently maintained a low and well-managed cost of risk, demonstrating disciplined underwriting standards despite the massive portfolio. It signifies their strong risk management capabilities, which is vital when you're managing billions in assets.
The acquisition of LeasePlan fundamentally reshaped Avens' balance sheet, dramatically increasing its size and complexity.
Much bigger balance sheet now.
Total assets, for instance, expanded from $31.30 billion at the end of 2022 to a staggering $70.26 billion at the end of 2023.
More than doubled.
And grew to $150.23 billion in 2024. Given its capital-intensive business model, Avens inherently operates with a highly leveraged balance sheet.
Lots of debt to finance all those cars.
Its key funding sources include loans from its parent, Société Générale, as well as bonds and notes issued directly in the public debt capital markets.
A critical aspect of the company's financial management is its status as a financial holding company, subject to direct supervision by the European Central Bank, ECB.
Ah, so regulated like a bank now.
Essentially, yes. This regulatory oversight requires Avens to adhere to stringent capital adequacy standards, similar to those applied to traditional banks. The company's key regulatory capital metric is its Common Equity Tier 1 CET1 ratio.
CET1 ratio.
Which stood at a robust 12.5% at the end of 2023. This is comfortably in line with its strategic target of approximately 12%, indicating a solid capital buffer against potential losses.
So they have enough capital according to the regulators.
Yes. This regulatory framework provides an important layer of financial discipline and stability, which is a key consideration for you as an investor or analyst.
Let's talk about what matters to shareholders. Profitability and efficiency. Return on tangible equity, ROTE, is the primary measure of profitability for shareholders.
ROTE. How much profit they make on shareholders' money.
Reflecting that peak in used car sales results, ROTE reached an exceptionally high 26.4% in 2022.
Very high in that peak year.
It subsequently normalized to a still strong 12.4% in 2023. The company's PowerUp 2026 strategic plan specifically targets a sustainable ROTE in the range of 13% to 15%.
So aiming for consistently strong returns.
A level that is considered to be at the high end of the financial sector.
This ROTE target is very important. And the cost-income ratio, excluding the used car sales result, is a direct measure of their operational efficiency.
How much it costs them to make money, basically.
Exactly. This ratio stood at 53.2% in 2022, but rose to 63.7% in 2023.
Went up. Why?
That increase was directly attributable to the significant one-off costs incurred to achieve the integration of LeasePlan.
The merger costs again.
The core objective of their strategic plan is to leverage the merger synergies to drive this ratio down significantly, with a target of approximately 52% by 2026.
So aiming to get much more efficient.
This highlights the impact of integration costs on their efficiency and the strategic importance of achieving that ROTE target. It's a temporary drag for a long-term gain.
So, with all this scale in the market transformation, how is Avon's charting its course for the future? Following that landmark acquisition of LeasePlan, Avon's unveiled its comprehensive three-year strategic plan called Power UP 2026 in September 2023.
Power UP 2026.
Okay. This plan effectively supersedes their previous Move 2025 strategy and is specifically designed to leverage the company's newfound leadership position to shape the future of mobility and, of course, deliver superior shareholder returns.
Setting the direction for the next few years.
The strategy is articulated around four core priorities: clients, operational efficiency, responsibility, and profitability.
And this plan isn't just a broad vision. It sets forth a clear and ambitious set of financial targets to be achieved by 2026.
Specific numbers.
Yes. For asset growth, they aim for a compound annual growth rate, CAGR, of plus 6% for earning assets between 2023 and 2026.
Growing the funded fleet by 6% a year.
This growth is expected to be driven by both an increase in overall fleet size and a higher average value per vehicle, a trend directly underpinned by the accelerating shift to more expensive electric vehicles.
Ah, EVs cost more, so assets grow faster.
Precisely. For profitability, they target a return on tangible equity, or RETIP, in the range of 13% to 15%, a level that would place Avon's at the high end of the financial services sector.
That strong ROTE target again.
In terms of efficiency, they aim to substantially improve operational efficiency by reducing the cost-income ratio, excluding the volatile used car sales result, to approximately 52%.
The efficiency target.
And finally, for capital strength, they plan to maintain a robust capital position with a target Common Equity Tier 1 CET1 ratio of approximately 12%.
Keeping that capital buffer strong.
These targets represent Avon's confidence in translating its new, unparalleled scale into tangible financial performance.
Now, a cornerstone of this Power UP 2026 plan and the primary driver for achieving its efficiency and profitability targets is the successful integration of LeasePlan,
making the merger actually pay off.
The company has confirmed an ambitious target of $440 million in annual run rate pre-tax synergies to be fully realized by 2026. This is a huge number and critical for the success of the merger.
$440 million a year in savings and benefits. And these synergies are anticipated to be sourced evenly from two main areas.
Okay, where from?
First, margin procurement synergies. This involves leveraging the combined entity's massive scale to negotiate better prices on new vehicle purchases from automotive manufacturers and more favorable terms with suppliers for services like tires, maintenance, and insurance.
Using their size to get better deals.
They're simply bigger, so they can demand better deals. Second are cost synergies. This comes from streamlining operations by consolidating IT platforms, optimizing their real estate footprints globally, and eliminating redundant corporate functions that existed across the two separate companies.
Cutting overlapping costs. Makes sense. The realization of these synergies is planned as a progressive ramp-up. They're targeting $120 million by 2024, $350 million by 2025, and then the full $440 million run rate by 2026.
So a gradual build-up.
To achieve this, the company has budgeted for total integration costs, which they call costs to achieve, of $525 million spread over the 2022-2025 period.
Cost money to save money. And this really is the crunch point. The successful execution of this synergy plan is the single most critical factor for the investment case over the medium term.
Everything hinges on this.
To a large extent, yes. Missing these targets would significantly undermine the financial rationale for the entire merger. This is what you should be watching closely if you're assessing their future. It's the ultimate litmus test.
Beyond the merger, Avon's has a truly ambitious vision to be a definitive leader in the global transition to sustainable mobility.
Going big on EVs.
They currently manage what is arguably the world's largest multi-brand EV fleet, which is quite a statement, and they've placed electrification right at the heart of their growth strategy.
Making it central.
They've set an ambitious target for EVs to represent 50% of its new passenger car registrations by 2026.
Half of new cars electric. by 2026.
This breaks down to 40% being battery electric vehicles, mm-hmm. BEVs, and 10% being plug-in hybrid electric vehicles, PHEVs. This is a significant acceleration from the 28% EV share they recorded in 2022.
That's a big jump in just a few years. This is a bold and necessary move. Their strategy to achieve this is multifaceted.
How are they doing?
It involves not just supplying electric vehicles, but providing a comprehensive end-to-end ecosystem to facilitate the transition for their clients.
More than just the cars.
Exactly. This includes offering expert consultancy on fleet electrification, helping businesses understand how to make the switch, providing turnkey charging solutions for both home and workplace.
Charging is key.
And developing sophisticated reporting tools to track energy consumption and emissions. The company aims to quadruple the uptake of its full bundled electric product to 400,000 contracts by 2026.
400,000 EV contracts. Wow.
And strategic partnerships, like their joint venture with charging provider ChargePoint, are crucial for building out this ecosystem and simplifying the EV experience for drivers.
Partnering up.
This strategy positions Avens as a crucial enabler of the EV transition, but it also inherently highlights the residual value risks associated with this shift.
Back to the RV risk on EVs.
Especially given the rapid pace of technological change in EVs.
That's a great point about managing risk while driving innovation. Avens is also making significant investments in technology to build what they call the industry's most efficient and scalable global operating platform.
Investing in tech.
The goal here is twofold. First, to leverage technology to drive down costs, with a target to reduce IT costs per vehicle by approximately 20%, and second, to dramatically enhance the customer experience.
Cutting costs, improving service.
A key growth avenue they're pursuing is the expansion into mobility as a service.
Moss, this is becoming a big theme.
Avens is moving beyond the traditional leasing model to offer integrated mobility platforms that provide corporate employees with flexible, multimodal travel options. Imagine a single app or platform that lets you access a leased car, a car sharing service, or even public transport.
Seamless travel options.
They've set a target of reaching 200,000 active users on its Moz platform by 2026, signaling a clear ambition to capture a larger share of the overall corporate mobility budget. Not just the car portion.
Getting a bigger piece of the mobility pie. Furthermore, the company is expanding its offerings in multi-cycle and used car leasing.
Multi-cycle? Leasing used cars?
Exactly. This is clever. By leasing vehicles for a second or even third life cycle, Avens can generate additional revenue streams from a single asset, maximizing its utility and profitability.
Squeezing more value out of each car.
The strategy aims to sell or lease approximately 30% of its off-lease vehicles directly to retail customers, a channel that typically offers higher margins and crucially helps to reduce their exposure to the volatility of the wholesale used car market.
Selling direct to consumers, not just auctions.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, this represents a profound shift. Avens is moving from being primarily just a car provider to a comprehensive mobility solutions provider.
More than just leasing cars.
Diversifying its business model and positioning itself for the evolving future of mobility, it's about becoming an ecosystem, not just a service provider.
Let's talk about how Avens plans to reward its shareholders. The company has established a clear and consistent capital return policy focused on providing you with a predictable dividend stream.
What's the plan for dividends?
They've publicly stated a target dividend payout ratio of 50% of its consolidated net income throughout the entire PowerUP 2026 strategic plan period, which runs from 2023 to 2026.
50% payout ratio. Okay, so half the profit goes to shareholders.
This policy has been put into practice with recent dividend declarations. For the fiscal year 2023, for example, the company proposed a dividend of 0.47 per share, which corresponded precisely to a 50% payout of the reported net income. Similarly, for fiscal year 2024, a dividend of 0.37 per share was proposed, again adhering to that 50% payout ratio.
Consistent with the policy, what's interesting is that the historical dividend per share has shown some variability.
Why the variation?
Which is a direct reflection of the fluctuations in the company's annual net income, particularly the impact of that volatile used car sales result.
Ah, linked to the UCS profit swings.
For example, the dividend paid in 2023 for the record profit year of 2022 was 1.06 per share compared to 0.99 paid in 2022 for fiscal year 2021.
So the actual euro amount can change year to year.
Exactly. The commitment to a fixed payout ratio rather than a fixed dividend per share allows the company to return a consistent portion of its profits to shareholders while retaining the flexibility to adjust the absolute payout based on annual performance.
Flexible but predictable in terms of the ratio.
The sustainability of this dividend is therefore directly linked to the company's ability to achieve its target ROTE of 13 to 15%. It's a very pragmatic approach.
In addition to dividends, Avins also has a share buyback program authorized by its shareholders.
Buying back their own stock.
The general meeting held in May 2023 granted the board of directors the authority to repurchase up to 5% of the total share capital, with a maximum financial allocation of $1.2 billion for the program.
That's a decent-sized program.
Now, the stated purposes of this share buyback program are primarily strategic and operational, rather than just being a direct tool for capital reduction.
Not just boosting the share price, then?
Not primarily. The main objectives are, first, to allocate shares to employees and corporate officers as part of free share or employee savings plans, thereby aligning management and employee interests with those of shareholders.
Giving shares to employees, okay.
And second, to retain shares for potential use in future external growth transactions, such as funding smaller, bolt-on acquisitions with equity.
So, keeping some powder dry for M&A, this is a nuanced use of buybacks. They're not just reducing share count to boost EPS, they're using it as a tool for talent alignment and strategic flexibility. It provides them with an additional arrow in their quiver for capital deployment, allowing them to participate in consolidation opportunities that arise in the market without solely relying on debt or new equity issuance. It's an important signal of their growth ambitions beyond the lease plan integration.
As a company with a massive balance sheet dominated by vehicle assets, Avins financial management and funding strategy are absolutely critical to its success.
How they pay for all those cars?
The company employs a sophisticated and diversified funding model to finance its fleet in a cost-effective and resilient manner.
Multiple sources of cash.
The cornerstone of Avins funding strategy is its strong relationship with its majority shareholder, Société Générale. Société Générale provides a substantial portion of the company's loan-based funding, offering a stable and competitively priced source of capital.
The parent company provides a lot of the loans.
For example, in the first half of 2021, prior to the LeasePlan merger, loans from Société Générale constituted approximately 69% of ALD's total funding.
Beyond the parent company, Avins is an established and active issuer in the global debt capital markets.
Selling bonds.
The company regularly issues bonds and notes of varying maturities to a wide range of institutional investors, further diversifying its funding sources and reducing its reliance on any single channel.
Spreading the risk.
And a valuable new funding channel gained from the LeasePlan acquisition is deposit collection.
Taking deposits. Like a bank.
LeasePlan had established successful online deposit-taking platforms in certain European markets, notably Germany and the Netherlands. These platforms attract retail deposits, providing a stable and granular source of funding for the combined entity, which is a significant advantage. The company also has the capability to use securitization, where it packages lease receivables into securities that are sold to investors as an additional funding tool.
Another way to raise money. And a core principle of their treasury management is to prudently manage financial risks. This involves a policy of closely matching the characteristics of its assets, the leases, and its liabilities, the funding, in terms of maturities and interest rate structures.
Matching assets and liabilities.
They primarily use fixed-rate funding to finance their predominantly fixed-rate lease contracts. This approach is designed to minimize their exposure to fluctuations in interest rates and liquidity risk.
Reducing interest rate risk. This sophisticated, diversified, and matched funding strategy is crucial for Avins' financial resilience, especially as a regulated entity.
It needs to be solid.
It demonstrates a disciplined approach to managing a highly capital-intensive business and provides a solid foundation from which to execute their ambitious growth plans.
The relationship between Avins and Société Générale extends far beyond that of a typical majority shareholder. Société Générale is a deeply integrated strategic partner.
More than just an owner.
And this relationship forms the bedrock of Avins' competitive advantage and financial stability. Société Générale holds a controlling stake of approximately 52.6% in Avins.
Over half the company.
And is publicly committed to remaining the long-term majority shareholder, a commitment underscored by a 40-month lock-up agreement following the LeasePlan acquisition.
Locked in for the long haul.
This long-term commitment signals that Avins is not just a financial investment, but a core strategic asset for the banking group. Indeed, Société Générale has stated that it views Avins as a third strategic pillar of its business.
A core part of Sagen Strategy.
Alongside its retail banking and corporate and investment banking divisions. That's a huge endorsement.
It is. This strategic importance manifests in several tangible benefits for Ayvens. As we detailed, Sagen provides critical funding and liquidity support, which lowers Ayvens' cost of capital and enhances its financial resilience.
Cheaper funding.
Ayvens also benefits from leveraging Societe Generale's sophisticated bank-level risk management frameworks and resources, ensuring robust governance and control.
Access to bank expertise.
And finally, the relationship provides significant potential for synergies through access to Societe Generale's vast network of corporate and retail banking clients, creating opportunities for cross-selling and lead generation that independent lessors simply don't have.
Getting business through the bank's network.
This deep strategic integration with a major European banking group provides Ayvens with a level of stability and financial firepower that its independent competitors cannot replicate. It's a crucial safety net that allows the company to navigate market cycles and undertake complex strategic initiatives, such as the LeasePlan integration, from a position of strength.
Now, no deep dive is complete without a thorough look at the risks. A proper analysis of Ayvens requires a clear understanding of the inherent and emerging risks associated with its business model and strategic direction.
Gotta look at the potential downsides.
These risks can be categorized into several key areas.
Okay.
The most significant and inherent risk in the operational leasing business is residual value, RV risk.
RV risk. We keep coming back to this one.
Let's simplify this because it's the big one for Ayvens. Imagine Ayvens buying a car today and they guess it'll be worth $20,000 in 3 years. That's their residual value.
Their estimate of future worth.
If in 3 years that car's only worth $15,000 on the open market, they've just lost $5,000 on that one car. Now multiply that by millions and you see why it's such a critical risk to manage.
Small errors multiplied by millions of cars add up fast.
The company's profitability is highly sensitive to the accuracy of its RV setting and the overall health of the used car market. This risk is currently amplified, and here's where it gets really interesting, by the industry's rapid transition to electric vehicles, EVs.
EVs make RV risk even trickier.
The long-term residual values of EVs are subject to a high degree of uncertainty due to several factors. Rapid technological change.
Better batteries coming out all the time.
Advances in battery technology, charging speeds, and vehicle range could make older EV models obsolete more quickly. Battery degradation.
How long will the battery really last?
Uncertainty about the long-term performance and lifespan of EV batteries and OEM pricing strategies.
Like Tesla cutting prices.
Exactly. Aggressive price cuts on new EVs by manufacturers can have an immediate and severe negative impact on the value of existing used EVs. Recent sharp corrections in used EV prices across Europe have certainly highlighted the materiality of this risk.
We've seen used EV prices drop quite a bit recently,
making that guess on future value incredibly difficult.
Precisely. And in addition to RV risk, credit risk is also significant.
Customers not paying their bills.
This is the risk of financial loss resulting from the failure of a customer to meet their contractual lease payment obligations. This risk is inherently cyclical, as the frequency of defaults tends to increase during economic downturns.
Worse when the economy is bad.
When businesses and individuals face financial distress. However, Ayvens mitigates this risk through a disciplined credit underwriting process for all new customers and by maintaining a highly diversified portfolio spread across thousands of clients, various industries, and multiple geographic regions.
Spreading the risk helps. And then there's interest rate sensitivity. As a financial intermediary that funds its assets primarily with debt, Ayvens is exposed to movements in interest rates.
Rising rates hurt them.
A significant rise in prevailing interest rates would increase the company's cost of funding. Their primary mitigation strategy is to match its assets and liabilities.
Matching fixed-rate leases with fixed-rate debt?
Since most of its lease contracts are at fixed rates, Ayvens aims to finance them with fixed-rate debt of a similar duration. However, perfect matching isn't always possible, and the company uses interest rate derivatives like swaps to hedge its residual exposure.
Using financial tools to hedge.
While this hedging reduces the economic risk, significant volatility in interest rates can lead to large, non-cash mark-to-market gains or losses on these derivative positions, which can impact reported quarterly earnings.
Can make earnings look choppy even if the underlying business is okay. Finally, there's the most significant near-term operational risk, integration and operational risk.
Putting ALD and LeasePlan together.
The ongoing integration of LeasePlan is a massive and highly complex undertaking that involves merging two large global organizations with distinct IT systems, operational processes, and corporate cultures.
Huge task.
Potential risks include execution delays.
Things taking longer than expected.
Challenges in migrating data and consolidating IT platforms could lead to delays and cost overruns. Business disruption.
Upsetting customers during the merger.
Any interruption to customer service during the integration process could damage client relationships and lead to customer attrition, and critically, the risk of failure to realize synergies.
Not getting those $440 million savings.
Exactly. The inability to achieve the targeted cost and procurement synergies would fundamentally undermine the financial rationale of the merger. These risks intersect, particularly how EV residual value risk impacts the broader electrification strategy, creating a complex interplay that management must navigate.
And as an ECB-supervised financial holding company, Ayvens faces a heightened level of regulatory scrutiny, which introduces its own set of risks.
More rules to follow being regulated by the ECB.
We're talking about risks related to changes in banking regulations, particularly those concerning capital adequacy standards like Basel III and IV, liquidity requirements, and risk management practices.
Bank-like rules.
Furthermore, the company is exposed to evolving environmental regulations, which could impose additional costs or alter the market dynamics for certain types of vehicles. And of course, changes in consumer protection laws could affect lease terms and conditions. It's a complex web of rules they have to navigate. Constantly.
This regulatory environment, while ensuring a level of stability within the financial sector, also introduces inherent complexity and significant compliance costs.
Costs money to comply.
For a global player like Ayvens, operating across numerous jurisdictions, staying abreast of and adhering to these diverse and often evolving regulations is a continuous and resource-intensive challenge. It's a necessary cost of doing business at their scale, akin to constantly having to adapt to new rules in a global game.
Looking further out, the automotive and mobility sectors face potential disruption from emerging technologies that could fundamentally alter the landscape.
Longer-term risks.
The widespread adoption of autonomous vehicles, for example, could change the very concept of car usage.
Self-driving cars changing everything.
Potentially shifting demand from individual leased vehicles towards robo-taxi services or shared fleets. Similarly, the continued growth of shared mobility platforms could reduce the need for dedicated corporate fleets, particularly in dense urban areas.
People just using ride-sharing or car-sharing instead of having a company car.
As employees might simply access a vehicle when needed rather than having a dedicated one.
While Ayvens is actively investing in mobility as a service, MaaS, to position itself for this evolving future, the ultimate impact of these disruptive technologies on its core business model remains a long-term uncertainty.
Hard to predict the future, exactly.
It's a risk that's not immediate, but definitely warrants long-term strategic attention and adaptability, because the landscape of getting around is still rapidly evolving.
Let's turn to the price tag. An analysis of Ayvens' valuation multiples indicates that the company is currently trading at a significant discount to its historical averages.
Looks cheap compared to its past.
This reflects market sentiment that is heavily influenced by the perceived risks of the LeasePlan integration and the ongoing uncertainty surrounding the automotive sector's EV transition.
Markets worried about the merger and EVs.
Looking at the price-to-earnings PE ratio as of mid-2025, Ayvens' trailing 12-month PE ratio is reported in the range of 12.3x to 12.9x.
PE around 12-13x.
This is a notable contrast to its historical valuation, for instance, a PE of 9.2x in 2020. This suggests a degree of investor caution despite the recent growth.
The price-to-book PD ratio is particularly revealing here. Recent data indicates a PB ratio of approximately 0.7x.
0.7x price to book, that's low.
This means the company's stock is trading at a 30% discount to its accounting tangible book value. Trading below a PB of 1.0x often indicates that the market has concerns about a company's future profitability or, crucially, the stated value of its assets.
Like those potential EV RV losses.
For example, potential residual value losses on its fleet, particularly EVs. It points to a skeptical market view.
And the enterprise value to EBITDA ratio, which accounts for both debt and equity, also points to a conservative valuation. As of late 2024, the company's trailing EBITDA multiple was reported at 3.8x.
Low EBITDA too.
Which is a significant compression from 6.7x in the prior year period.
When you look at these discount multiples, what they imply about the market's perception of risk and potential challenges becomes very clear. Investors are demanding a higher risk premium for the uncertainty related to the merger integration and the EV transition. Essentially, you can buy the company's assets for less than they're currently valued on paper.
When compared to its peers and the broader industry, Avon's valuation appears quite compelling on a relative basis.
How does it stack up against competitors?
One analysis notes that Avon's P.E. ratio of approximately 12.9x represents good value when compared to a calculated peer average of 32.9x.
Wow, peers average over 30x P.E.
And the broader European transportation industry average of 15.2x.
So cheaper than peers and the industry. And if you look at general valuation ranges for the automotive sales, leasing, and rental sector, they are typically cited as being between 4x and 8x EV/EBITDA.
Right.
At its current multiple of approximately 3.8x, Avon's is trading at the very low end of, or even below, this typical industry range.
Below the typical range.
This relative undervaluation strongly suggests that the market is applying a larger discount to Avon's than to its competitors, likely due to the specific and significant execution risks associated with the massive lease plan integration. It's a clear market signal that a lot of risk is already priced into the stock.
The fact that Avon's is trading at a substantial discount to its tangible book value is a central feature of its current valuation profile.
That 0.7x PB again. This implies that the market is either pricing in the possibility of future asset write-downs, most likely from potential losses on the residual value of its vehicle fleet, particularly EVs, or that it simply believes the company will be unable to generate a return on its equity that would justify a valuation at or above its book value.
Market doubts the asset values or future returns. However, the company's dividend does provide a tangible return to investors.
The dividend yield, what is it?
Based on the proposed dividend for the 2024 fiscal year, the forward dividend yield is approximately 3.8% to 3.9%.
Almost 4%. That's pretty decent.
The sustainability of this yield is underpinned by the company's stated 50% payout policy and its ability to generate consistent net income. A yield at this level can provide a degree of support for the share price and offers a tangible cash return to investors while they wait for the potential realization of the merger's strategic and financial benefits. It's a real return during a period of transformation, allowing you to be paid while you wait for the story to unfold. So who is guiding this massive ship through such transformative waters? Avon's is led by an experienced executive team comprised of veterans from both the legacy ALD Automotive and LeasePlan organizations.
A mix from both companies.
Ensuring a blend of institutional knowledge and diverse perspectives during this critical integration phase. The group is led by Chief Executive Officer Tim Albertson.
Albertson, the current CEO.
Who has been with ALD for many years and was the primary architect of the LeasePlan acquisition and the subsequent PowerUP 2026 strategy. He is supported by a deep bench of senior executives, including Deputy CEOs John Saffrett and Bruno Klein-Herrenbrink, and CFO Patrick Sumlin.
Experienced team. A pivotal recent development and a key event for the company is the announcement that Tim Albertson will retire from his role effective December 1st, 2025.
CEO retiring soon.
He will be succeeded by Philippe de Rovira, an experienced executive from within the Société Générale ecosystem.
Someone from the parent company taking over.
This planned transition introduces a change in leadership at a crucial juncture of its strategic plan, balancing continuity with a fresh perspective from the parent company's ranks. The board of directors is chaired by Pierre Palmieri, who is also the deputy CEO of Société Générale, which further highlights that deep strategic link to the parent company. The board itself is composed of a mix of representatives from Société Générale, the CEO, and several independent directors who bring external expertise and oversight.
Avon's operates under a robust corporate governance framework designed to ensure effective oversight, risk management, and alignment with shareholder interests.
Good governance is important.
The company adheres to the AVEP-MEDEF Corporate Governance Code, which is the reference standard for publicly listed companies in France. Their governance structure was significantly enhanced following the LeasePlan acquisition and the company's transition to a regulated financial holding company.
Stepped up governance after the merger and regulation.
The board of directors has established 5 specialized committees to provide focused oversight on critical areas. The audit committee, the risk committee, the remuneration committee, the appointments committee, and the strategic committee.
Standard board committees. Crucially, the chairmanships of the most important committees, the Audit, Risk, Remuneration, and Appointments Committees, are held by independent directors.
Independent directors running key committees, that's good practice.
This is a key tenet of good corporate governance and ensures a balanced approach. It allows for strategic guidance and support from the majority shareholder, Societe Generale, while ensuring that independent oversight is maintained to protect the interests of all shareholders, including minorities.
Balancing parent company influence with independence.
This structure ensures effective oversight, strong risk management, and the protection of all shareholder interests for you, the investor.
Aven's executive compensation structure is designed to align the interests of the management team with the long-term performance of the company and the interests of its shareholders.
Making sure management wins when shareholders win.
The compensation policies are determined by the board of directors based on recommendations from the remuneration committee and are subject to a shareholder vote at the annual general meeting.
Shareholders get a say on pay.
The compensation package for executive officers comprises a fixed salary and a variable component. The variable compensation is tied to the achievement of a set of predefined, measurable performance objectives.
Bonuses based on hitting targets.
Which typically include financial targets like profitability and efficiency and strategic goals such as progress on the integration and sustainability objectives.
Tied to the strategy. Furthermore, the company's share buyback program is used in part to source shares for employee and executive incentive plans.
Giving them stock options or rewards.
The inclusion of equity-based compensation in the overall package serves to create a direct link between the wealth of the management team and the share price performance, further strengthening the alignment with shareholders.
So they benefit if the stock goes up.
This alignment is especially important as the new CEO takes the helm. Their performance in achieving these targets will be key to the PowerUP 2026 plan and the ultimate success of the combined entity.
Let's bring ourselves right up to date with Aven's most recent financial disclosures, which provide strong evidence that the execution of its post-merger strategy is indeed on track and yielding positive results.
How are they doing recently?
The company reported a strong performance for the second quarter of 2025, which really serves as a key proof point for the PowerUP 2026 strategic plan.
Good recent numbers then.
Key highlights from that quarter include net income. Group share, reaching €271.
Solid profit.
Up 38.5% YoY. Their return on tangible equity, ROT, achieved a robust 13.7%.
Right in their target range. Good sign.
Firmly within the company's strategic target range of 13-15%. In terms of synergy realization, the company captured $86 million in synergies during the quarter.
Making progress on those merger savings.
Demonstrating tangible progress in the integration of LeasePlan and on the path to the full $440 million annual target. Operational efficiency also showed marked improvement, with the cost-income ratio, excluding UCS, falling to 57.6%.
Efficiency improving, too, moving towards the 52% target.
This is a significant step towards the 2026 target of approximately 52%. And finally, their capital position, as measured by the CET1 ratio, remained exceptionally strong at 13.5%, well above the regulatory requirements and the company's own target.
Strong capital. These results are particularly significant because they truly begin to de-risk the investment narrative.
Reduces the uncertainty.
Exactly. After a period of uncertainty following the massive merger announcement, this strong performance provides the first concrete data point suggesting that management's strategic and financial targets are credible and achievable. It's a tangible demonstration that the plans are converting into real-world performance, and it should certainly catch your attention.
Several recent announcements have further clarified the company's strategic direction and operational progress. The most significant recent development, as we touched on, is the CEO succession plan.
The change at the top.
Group CEO Tim Albertsen, who orchestrated the LeasePlan acquisition, announced his retirement effective December 1, 2025. The board has appointed Philippe de Rovira, an experienced executive from Societe Generale, as his successor. This ensures a planned and orderly transition at the top, critical during such a complex period.
Smooth handover planned. Another crucial strategic announcement was the renewal of their North American alliance.
With Wheels, right.
In October 2024, Aven's announced the renewal of its crucial strategic alliance with Wheels, a leading fleet management provider in North America. This move is strategically vital as it secures Avon's ability to offer seamless global service to its multinational clients.
Keeping that global reach intact.
Protecting a key competitive advantage in an industry where global reach is paramount. And on the operational front, there's been steady progress on the complex task of integrating LeasePlan.
Making progress merging the two companies.
With legal mergers of the two entities now completed in numerous overlapping countries, including key markets like France and the Netherlands, and IT system migrations proceeding according to the planned schedule, these developments indicate strong operational momentum and should reinforce investor confidence in their strategic execution.
Looking ahead, Avon's future performance will be influenced by several potential catalysts. Things that could move the needle.
What should we be watching for?
The most powerful near-term catalyst for the stock would be the continued synergy delivery.
Hitting those merger savings targets.
Consistently meeting or exceeding the synergy ramp-up targets, $350 million by 2025 and the full $440 million by 2026, would significantly boost investor confidence in the merger's success and management's execution capabilities.
Proof they can deliver. Another key investor concern is the stabilization of EV residual values.
That EV risk factor again.
Any data, whether from the broader market or from Avon's own used car sales results, that indicates a bottoming out or stabilization of used EV prices would alleviate a major perceived risk and could trigger a positive re-rating of the stock.
If used EV prices stop falling, that helps a lot.
Absolutely. Beyond that, new strategic partnerships, particularly with emerging EV manufacturers seeking a channel to market or with technology companies in the mobility as a service space,
deals with other companies,
would further reinforce Avon's strategic positioning as a central player in the evolving mobility ecosystem. And finally, a successful leadership transition to the new CEO, Philippe de Rovira, without any disruption to the strategic plan's momentum.
Smooth CEO change.
Will be a crucial catalyst for maintaining market confidence through 2025 and beyond. These are all potential signals that could unlock further value and drive a re-rating for the stock.
Let's consider the optimistic scenario for Avon's, the bull case, if you will. What could go right?
The sunny side.
This is predicated on the successful execution of its post-merger strategy, allowing it to fully capitalize on its dominant market position and the strong secular tailwinds in the mobility sector.
Everything going according to plan.
First, flawless integration and full synergy capture. In this scenario, Avon's seamlessly completes the LeasePlan integration, realizing the full $440 million in annual run rate synergies by 2026.
They nail the merger.
This successful execution drives the cost-income ratio down to the targeted 52% and sustainably lifts the return on tangible equity, ROET, into the upper end of the 13-15% target range. The market then recognizes the enhanced and sustainable earnings power of the combined entity.
Market rewards them for hitting the targets. Second, in the bull case, we see dominance in fleet electrification.
They become the go-to for EVs.
Avon's leverages its unparalleled scale, global network, and deep client relationships to become the undisputed partner of choice for corporations transitioning their fleets to electric vehicles. The company successfully manages the associated residual value risks through superior data analytics and multi-cycle leasing, effectively turning a perceived industry risk into a powerful competitive advantage.
They master the EV risk. And if all that happens, we'd see a significant valuation re-rating.
The stock price goes up a lot.
As management consistently delivers on its strategic and financial targets, investor confidence would soar. The market would begin to look past the near-term integration risks and reevaluate the company based on its strengthened market position and sustainable profitability.
People stop worrying so much.
Consequently, the stock's valuation multiples, particularly its price-to-book ratio, would expand from their current discounted levels towards or even above 1.0x, aligning with historical and peer averages.
PB goes back towards 1x or higher,
resulting in significant capital appreciation for shareholders.
Finally, we'd also see successful diversification into MaaS. The company's investments in its mobility as a service platform gain significant traction, achieving the target of 200,000 active users.
MaaS takes off for them.
This creates a new, high-margin, and scalable revenue stream that further diversifies the business model beyond asset-centric leasing, positioning Avon's as a true integrated mobility provider, and further compounds those positive drivers, leading to even greater market recognition.
Now, for the flip side, the bear case scenarios. What could go wrong?
The risks actually happening.
These center on the materialization of the key risks we've identified. primarily the failure to execute the integration and the mismanagement of risks associated with the EV transition.
The main worries.
First, integration failure. The integration of LeasePlan's disparate IT systems, processes, and corporate cultures proves more complex, costly, and time-consuming than anticipated.
The merger goes badly.
Synergy targets are repeatedly missed, integration costs overrun the budget, and operational disruptions lead to a loss of key customers and market share. In this scenario, the promised financial benefits of the merger simply fail to materialize.
They don't get the savings.
Leaving the company with a bloated cost structure and disappointing results.
Second, and this is a big one, a collapse in EV residual values.
Used EV prices crater.
Imagine a perfect storm of rapid battery technology advancements, aggressive price cuts on new EVs by manufacturers, and weaker than expected consumer demand for used EVs. This could lead to a sharp and sustained collapse in their residual values.
The worst case for EV values.
Avens would then be forced to take significant impairment charges on its vast EV portfolio, which would erode its book value, decimate its net income, and put severe pressure on its regulatory capital ratios. This is a risk the market has already factored in to some extent, but a severe downturn here could be catastrophic.
Then we have a severe macroeconomic downturn. Mm. A deep and prolonged recession across Avens' key European markets would trigger a cascade of negative effects.
A bad recession hits.
Corporate bankruptcies and rising unemployment would lead to a sharp increase in credit defaults, meaning more customers can't pay their leases.
More defaults.
At the same time, weak consumer and business confidence would cause a collapse in demand for used cars, depressing sales prices, and leading to large losses in the used car sales segment.
Used car prices collapse too.
The combination of rising credit losses and falling UCS results would severely impact profitability and capital.
A double whammy. And finally, intensified competitive pressure.
Competitors fight back hard.
Competitors, particularly Arval and the OEM-backed lessors, effectively respond to Avens' increased scale. They form their own strategic alliances, compete aggressively on price for major corporate contracts, and innovate rapidly in digital and EV services.
Price wars, margin pressure.
This heightened competition could erode Avens' margins and prevent it from achieving its profitability targets, critically undermining the investment thesis.
So, to help you track the evolution of this investment thesis, here's a clear list of key performance indicators you should closely monitor in Avens' quarterly and annual reports.
What numbers to watch?
First, synergy realization. Watch the reported quarterly and cumulative synergies captured versus the company's stated ramp-up targets. Are they hitting their marks for $120 million by 2024, $350 million by 2025, and $440 million by 2026?
Are they delivering the savings? Second, used car sales, UCS result per unit. This is a key indicator of the health of the used car market and the company's ability to manage that crucial residual value risk.
How much profit per used car?
Third, return on tangible equity, ROT. This is the primary measure of shareholder profitability, and you should track it against their 13-15% target range. Fourth, the cost-income ratio, excluding UCS. This measures operational efficiency and progress on cost synergies tracked against the 52% target. Fifth, the CET1 ratio. This is the key regulatory capital metric, and you need to ensure it remains comfortably above their 12% target.
Profitability, efficiency, capital strength. And finally, EV penetration rate. This is the percentage of their new vehicle deliveries that are electric. Monitoring this will show you their progress on that strategic shift to sustainable mobility and their commitment to becoming an EV leader.
How quickly are they going electric? These are the vital signs that will tell the story of Avens' execution and help you gauge whether the market's current valuation fully reflects its potential or its remaining risks. By tracking these, you get a clear picture of their progress. Hashtag tag outro.
So what does this all mean? Avens stands as a newly crowned industry leader with immense scale and riding powerful global trends like the shift to usership, electrification, and mobility as a service.
A giant navigating big changes.
Yet it's simultaneously navigating the largest integration in its sector's history while managing the profound and complex shift to vehicle electrification. The current valuation, at a significant discount to its tangible book value, suggests that the market is acutely aware of the substantial execution risks ahead.
Market sees the challenges.
But this creates an asymmetric risk-reward profile. If management delivers on the ambitious PowerUP 2026 plan, the potential for both underlying earnings growth and a significant upward re-rating of its valuation multiple is considerable.
Big risks, but potentially big rewards if they pull it off. This raises an important question for you to consider as you reflect on this deep dive. As you think about your own relationship with mobility in the coming years, will you prefer traditional ownership, a more flexible leasing model, or a seamless, all-encompassing mobility as a service model?
Good question for all of us.
The collective choices of consumers and businesses like you will ultimately shape the success and evolution of global mobility leaders like Avens. Their future is, in a very real sense, tied to our changing habits.
Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into Avens. We hope you feel much more informed and perhaps even a little bit inspired by the incredible transformations happening in the world of mobility. Until next time, keep exploring and stay curious.